Good morning, everybody. Good to see you. We're going to look over these next few weeks when we are not particularly doing Christmas services, as we are next Sunday. Apparently it's Christmas jumpers next Sunday, if you've got Christmas jumpers. I see Louise is already on the mark there, the nice Christmas jumper. So we're going to be looking at this little theme of why Jesus, and reminding ourselves of the gospel message. And partly this is, if you've not heard the gospel before, we always love the gospel is beautiful. The gospel is wonderful. And we need the gospel. The gospel is at the heart of this church. The good news of Jesus Christ. It's not good advice. It's good news. You know something is news because it's already been done. The good news of Jesus, and we want to remind ourselves of that news, and also we want to be equipped to share that news with other people during Advent. And Advent obviously means coming. Advent is about the coming of Christ. The word Advent means coming. That's why we have Advent at Christmas time, but it's also why people talk about the second Advent, the second coming of Jesus. He is coming again. No one knows when, but he is coming. And I wonder today, I mean, it was wonderful. Sylvia shared a great example with us this morning already of how somebody came into church here yesterday, and Sylvia prayed with that lady and led her to Christ. And I wonder, for all of us, whether we feel equipped to do that. How would you be if someone came and said to you, I would like to become a Christian? Would you know how to take that person through the steps, or to take that person through a journey to lead them to Christ? And would you know how to do it from Scripture rather than just out of our own opinions of how someone becomes a Christian? Would we be able to take someone through the Bible and show them the way of salvation? And that's what I want us to do today. And today, if you've got a pen, I'm going to share a number of Bible verses with you. You might want to jot them down and actually go back to them later and memorize them even, because I'm a real fan of memorizing the Bible, so that it's whenever you're in a situation, you don't have to sort of rush for your Bible, but you've just got God's word hidden in your heart and you know some basic scripture to be able to share with other people. God's word. It's not my opinion of the gospel that counts. It's what God's word says the gospel is. That's what we're sharing. His word. We're a church that believes in the word and the spirit together. When the word and the spirit come together, that's amazing. And we want the power of the Holy Spirit, but we also want to be people of the word. So when we're sharing the gospel with others, we want to share God's word with them. And the Carol read a portion of scripture for us today, but I want to look really mainly at one verse in Romans 5 verse 8. I wonder if it's possible just to put that up on the screen for a moment. But Romans 5 verse 8, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Now that's a Bible verse that is the first verse I preached on when I was 16, my first sermon. This verse of scripture. And here we are 26 years later. I'm not going to give you that sermon this morning. But this scripture, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And anytime I'm in a place where I'm wanting to share my faith with people, that's one of the verses that I have tucked away in my heart, in my mind, that I know I want to share that gospel with people. We had another one from our 8:45 this morning in Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And over this series, what we're going to be doing is picking out a few Bible verses like John 3:16 or John 1:12, where we are going to be sharing on those Bible verses, but encouraging you to think about those scriptures, to memorize them, so that whenever you're in a context of wanting to share your faith with somebody, you've got three or four verses from the Bible that are just there at a moment's notice so that you can share them. Does anyone, by the way, have, I'd like to just open it out. This is not a rhetorical question. Like, what verses of the Bible do come to your mind maybe when you're thinking about the gospel or sharing your faith? Just shout some out. Sorry, I think I heard someone over here. Is that right? John 3:16. Yes? Should we say it together? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life, eternal life. That's great. John 3:16. Anybody got any other ones? John 1:1. And that, Benedict, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. That's a great verse to share with people who might be confused about the identity of Jesus, that Jesus really is God. He's not just another prophet. But anyway, have a think about that and think in your own mind. Where would I turn? And you might not even have a Bible with you, but where would I go in my mind if over this Christmas time I get an opportunity to share the gospel with someone else? Well, here's a verse that you can go to. Should we just say it all together? This Romans 5 verse 8. But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The problem is the 1984 and the 2000 and something NIV, isn't it? We have slightly different recollections of it. But let's say it all together again. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So maybe we could just keep it up there for a few minutes and just be looking at it and thinking, like, I'm going to memorize that Bible verse. Maybe I could take that into this week and get equipped to share the good news of Jesus with people. As we're sharing this, I want to encourage us as a church to be like the Bereans. You know, in Acts 17 verse 11, it says how Paul was speaking to the Berean church, the Berean believers. And actually, if you want to turn, why don't we let's pick up our Bibles and turn to Acts 17. If you've got a Bible in front of you or you're switching it on at the moment, then we're going to look at a few verses today. So get ready to use your Bible this morning. In Acts 17, it says, verse 11, now the Berean Jews were of more noble character than those on Thessalonica, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. That is a great example. They were reading their Bibles every day. They weren't just taking the preacher's word for it, even the Apostle Paul. And I always want to encourage you as a church family here, don't just believe something because Sam, Lydia, me, anybody else wants to say it. But I want to encourage you to search the scriptures yourself to make sure what we're saying or other preachers here is true. So what we're going to do today is a bit of searching the scriptures. And we're looking at this verse, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And this verse has three things I want to bring out that it reveals about God. So you can be thinking, like, when I'm wanting to explain the gospel message to someone, here is a great verse to do it. Because firstly, it reveals who God is. But God demonstrates his own love for us. And that shows me that, and it's pretty obvious, I'm a simple preacher. I'm not complicated, because the Bible generally is not complicated. God is love. It shows us the love of God. If we're wanting to talk to people about God's love, but God demonstrates. He's not aloof. He's not distant. He's not far away. He's not a God who just says, I love you. All the best. Hope it's going okay for you. He's the God who shows his love. He demonstrates his love. And as we said before, John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. We know from 1 John 4. In fact, let's turn to it, actually. Let's turn to this. Here's some more verses you can use. 1 John chapter 4, it's near the back. 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, Jude, Revelation. So 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 to 11. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. It's saying the same thing as Romans chapter 5. This is how God showed his love among us. That he sent his only Son as an atoning sacrifice. And the word atoning there literally means atonement, means at-one-ment. So God makes us, we are made one with God. So that's salvation. We were separated by sin, but we have atonement, at-one-ment, through the sacrifice of Jesus. But it starts out by saying, this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his only Son. This is the prodigal God that we see in Luke chapter 15. And it's always good to have the Bible stories as well. You know the story from Luke 15 of when the son went away from his father. And then when he was living it up in living the high life, and then came to a really low point of brokenness when he lost everything. And it says when he was even feeding the pigs, he said to himself, even in my father's house, the servants don't even get this treatment. And it's beautiful. It says in Luke 15 that he says, I will arise and go to my father. But it tells us in Luke 15 that the father was looking for the son constantly. And that when he saw the son coming back into the horizon, and the son was rehearsing the speech, how he was going to say, Father, forgive me, I've sinned, and so on and so forth. But yet the father ran towards him, and it says he hugged him and he kissed him, and he called for the best robe and the fattened calf and the everything else, the ring and so on. And the father was there at that moment of restoration for the lost son. That is a beautiful picture, isn't it? On Luke chapter 15, of how God sees us when we come and when we're praying our prayer of, oh God, forgive me. Oh God, have mercy on me, a sinner. You know, God is not slow. God is not, we're not trying to twist God's arm behind his back to do something for us. God is eager to save. God loves us so much. The passion in God's heart, there's a fire of love in the heart of God that is so strong, that burns with love for every human being, everyone. And he's just waiting for us to come back to him. And as soon as we make that first move to come to God, God is there. And he really brings us into salvation. And I love to remind people of that, because sometimes people don't think they're worth anything. They may think, you know, God doesn't see me. God doesn't know me. God is against me. You know, Sam read out from Romans 8, God is for us. Who can be against us? God is not against us. He is for us. And we know from Luke 15 that he's like the father with arms open wide, waiting to embrace anyone who will come and say, I'm gonna go to God. And so Romans 5:8 reveals this God of love, but God demonstrates his own love for us. And that's where I always want to start with people in sharing the Christian message. We start with love. We start with the message of love. But it goes on, not just that God is revealed as a God of love, but actually God is also revealed here as a holy God. And elsewhere in the passage, just around the passage, in the context of the passage, it also says some pretty stark words. It says, the next verse, in fact, says, since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? And that just shows us that God is loving, but he's also pure. He's also perfect. He's also holy. And we don't hear the word holy very often today, certainly in our culture out there. It's not something that people talk about. The holiness, the perfect, the perfection of God, the brightness of his purity. Our God is a consuming fire. And we never ever want to find ourselves coming under the holiness of God unprepared. We never want to find ourselves in that moment without grace to cover us and without mercy to cover us. If without that we are lost. It talks about being saved from God's wrath through him. And it's interesting how it says that that happened, we're justified by his blood. In Hebrews chapter 9 verse 22, it says there, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Because God is holy and God is love. He is both all together perfectly at the same time. And so God loves us, but our sin separates us from him. And that's the problem of the gospel. How do we get close to a holy God? How do we get near? Because we're not able to. And it says, without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness. That's why Jesus died on the cross, to bring forgiveness. Why did Jesus die? So that there could be forgiveness. It satisfies the holiness of God. And we can't just brush under the carpet the sin that in our lives. It needs to be dealt with openly. It needs to be dealt with thoroughly, properly. That's why Jesus came and died. If you and I could get to heaven just by our good deeds, just by doing our best and hoping our good deeds outmatch our bad things, if we could get to heaven that way, there would have been no reason for Jesus to die. He had to die because we need his mercy. And that's what leads me to the second thing. So firstly, it reveals God's love and holiness. Secondly, Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in that while we were still sinners. That's the second thing. And you see the word there, that's really important, still sinners. God doesn't just love us when we try to clean up our act. He loves us when we're still far away. He loves us when we're still sinners. God loves everyone, 100%, unconditionally, even when we're still sinners, when we're in rebellion against him. You know, in Matthew 1, verse 21, the purpose for Jesus coming was made clear. It says that he came to save his people from their sins. Didn't say that Jesus came to teach wonderful sermons. Didn't say he came to heal the sick or anything like that. It actually says he came to save his people from their sins. That's Matthew 1:21. Because sin and holiness cannot mix. In 2 Corinthians 5, it says, a really powerful verse of scripture, 2 Corinthians 5 verse 10 says, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. So there is a day coming when you and I will stand before God at the judgment seat of Christ. And that is a day that we want to prepare for. It's a day we want to get ready for, because sin and holiness cannot mix. And the Bible says we have all sinned. Romans 3:23. All have sinned. All have fallen short of God's standard. In one way or another, we're all sinners. And we all need grace. We need mercy. We need salvation. And we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And it's only going to be Christ and his forgiveness that makes the difference for us on that day. Sin is separation from God. Sin is like contamination. That's why some people think of sin as being big things, but actually sin can be small things too. You wouldn't want to drink if how many of you, if I spat in a swimming pool, would want to go in the swimming pool? You wouldn't, would you? Even though it's just, it can't be that bad. But you just wouldn't want to go in. Sin contaminates. It separates. It alienates us from God. Sin is like slavery. Sin is selfishness. It's falling short. And the Bible says the consequence of sin is death and the wrath of God. That's what we read in John's Gospel. We read it there in John 3, for example, where Jesus said, if you believe in the name of the only Son of God, then you're not condemned. But if you do not believe, then you stand condemned already.
That's why putting our trust in Jesus is so important. And in Romans 3, verse 10, it says, there is none righteous, no, not one. That there's no one who seeks God. There's no one who is righteous. There's no one who makes the who meets the mark. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, it says, Paul says there, he says, here is a trustworthy saying that calls for full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And that's what he does. In Hebrews 2, verse 3, it says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? And we see there's four words in the passage that describe our state as when we're still sinners. You see, it says there, you see it just in verse 6, you see at just the right time when we were still powerless. And human beings are powerless to save themselves. There's nothing we can do about our condition. It says Christ died for the ungodly. We're called ungodly. We're also, in the verse itself, we're reminded that we are still sinners. And even then, in the verse later on, in verse 10, it says, for if while you were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son. When we're in our sin, the Bible calls us God's enemies. It's worse than just forgetting. You're actually an enemy of God, a rebel, someone who's gone away from God's ways. That's how we are. That's why the Christian life is not just saying about making bad people good. It's really about making dead people alive. That's the gospel. We were enemies of God. That's why the gospel is even more wonderful when we realize all that God has done for us. It is even all the more amazing. And I'm not making this up. This is just, I'm just reading it. It's in black and white in Romans chapter 5. That's why I'm encouraging you to be like the Bereans. Search the scriptures every day. Tell me if you see something else, because I don't think you will. So therefore, we've got this passage, but God demonstrates his own love towards us in this. While we were still sinners, and here's the third and last, Christ died for us. So it reveals who God is, a God of love, a God of holiness. It reveals who we are. We are sinners in need of God's grace, but then it also reveals what God has done. That's the good news. And it says, Christ died for us. I want you to turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You just keep moving on from Romans, and you'll hit 1 Corinthians, and then you'll hit 2 Corinthians. The more you read your Bible, the more you'll know where everything is. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. I'm going to start actually verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. All of this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and has committed to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. And I want you to see this verse. God made him, that's Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. That's a remarkable thing. And it tells us what it means. Christ, in Romans 5 verse 8, Christ died for us. It's saying that God made Jesus, who is God, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God. There's this beautiful exchange of sin and righteousness. To be made right with God, we have to get that righteousness from Christ and give him our sin. And he nails it to the cross when he died on the cross for us. It's so important for us to remember when we say that Christ died for us, who is it that we're talking about? Jesus is 100% God and 100% human. He is the God-man. When we celebrate Christmas, let's remember that God was born and became a baby in that manger. That Jesus Christ died for us. And we know just a few verses, by the way, on who Jesus is. You know, in John 14:6, it says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." This is Jesus speaking. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And also in John chapter 8, Jesus said to the religious leaders, he said, "Before Abraham was, I am." That was him showing who he is. He is God. Jesus forgave sins, and only God can forgive sins. Jesus, when Thomas fell down and said, "My Lord and my God," Jesus didn't get up and say, "No, that's blasphemy. Stand up to your feet." He said he accepted Thomas' worship. Jesus is God. I want to ask you as well, this is important to be equipped in thinking, like, how would you let someone know from the Bible that Jesus is God? Do we know why we believe the things we believe? From here, don't tell me a preacher told you. We can get it wrong. We can all be deceived by preachers. But is it in here, in the scriptures? Search the scriptures daily to make sure that the things that you believe are true. And those scriptures, just for your, if you want to listen again or whatever, John 14:6, John 8:58, and so on. You look through the proof that Jesus is the Son of God. And the other remarkable thing, and as we're approaching Christmas time, and we're nearly done, by the way, as we're approaching Christmas time, here's something wonderful. Do you remember from Luke, we'll be reading this passage, Luke chapter 2, how it says that when Jesus was born and Mary wrapped him in swaddling clothes and placed him in the manger? Yes? Many people, I've only discovered this year myself, that it's believed that the shepherds who were watching were actually the shepherds for the temple. And in the temple, in the Jewish temple, they were constantly making animal sacrifices to cover the sin of the people. And a lamb was often the sacrifice used. And those shepherds would have been raising those sheep for the temple sacrifice. And did you know that one of the things that they would have done in those days, this sounds a bit bizarre to us, but this is what happened. When a lamb was born, and it was a spotless, blameless, blemishless lamb, they would have taken that lamb, wrapped it in swaddling bands, and placed it in a manger. And I didn't know that before. That's why when the shepherds come in, you see, obviously for us, we just think Christmas, baby in the manger. But in that day, babies didn't go in mangers. Babies were not in mangers. Lambs were in mangers. The lamb was in the manger. So the shepherds would have been used to have seeing a lamb in a manger. But when they came and visited on that day, they would have seen a baby in the manger, wrapped in swaddling bands. And that would have made them realize, this is the Lamb of God. This is the sacrifice. This is a baby who's born to take our sin, just as the lamb would have taken the sin of the people. Isn't that wonderful? They placed him in a manger. So those shepherds got it that night. They understood it. One day, that manger would become a cross on which Jesus would die. And on the cross, Jesus made a sacrifice for you and for me. He took our sin upon himself so that we could be set free. It's a picture of a temple, if you like, and the sacrifice is made. Another picture you could use is the picture of a slave market. And on the cross, Jesus died and he broke away the shackles that we have. And he set us free. We were slaves to sin and our shackles were broken. Our chains were broken off because Jesus set us free through his blood shed on the cross. Another image you could use would be a kind of legal image, really. And that's where this word justification comes from. You see, at the beginning of the passage, it says, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God." And that means, justification means just as if I had never sinned. So God sees you and he sees you completely pure. He sees Jesus instead of you. He doesn't see your sin, he sees Jesus. He sees purity. That is why one day when we all stand, as Corinthians tells us, we will all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. On that day, when God looks at me, and I pray when he looks at you as well, he will see Jesus. Not all the sin that I've built up over my 42 years, but he will see his son because of being justified. Just as if, it was just as if I'd never sinned. That is the wonder of what Jesus did on the cross. It can be wiped clean, the record. It's something wonderful. And not only that, There's an image on about the cross that's also relational and about family. And it's used here in Romans 5. It's the word reconciliation. "For if when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life?" It's this being brought back to know God, to know God. Isn't it wonderful in a family when there's been a family spat and people are separated and then there's a reconciliation? It's wonderful. But how much more when we have been alienated from God to be reconciled? And it's not something we do. Here's the good thing. It's already been done. On the cross, Jesus reconciled us to himself. And so that's what we need to respond to. That's the gospel message. Christ died for us. That's the key. We need his death to be forgiven. We need to rely on Jesus, because one day we will all appear before God and we need to make ourselves ready for that day. And not only so in eternity, but even now, we can know God. I'm not promising life gets any easier. In fact, it will get sometimes harder. Because in Luke chapter 9, verse 23, Jesus said, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me." So when we receive Christ, yes, we receive forgiveness, but we also receive him as Lord. We begin to follow Jesus. We begin to live a new life. That's why the Bible says, if anyone is in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. And Jesus also said in Luke 13, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. This is to repent means to say, I'm not going to go the way of the world anymore. I'm going to follow Jesus. And then to live that out. Yes, we don't live it out perfectly. But if, you know, thank God, if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the one who helps us. So friends, we repent and we believe. We follow Jesus. But isn't this a wonderful verse of scripture? But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. It's worth memorizing, don't you think? It's worth sharing. And sometimes I've had it here where I've sat down with someone in various times, and I'll take them to a couple of Bible verses and say, look, there's your name. Christ died for you. Are you willing to accept it? Are you willing to accept Christ? And they will be. And just want to finally say, we become a Christian. It starts through a prayer when we receive Christ into our lives. We go on in a life of turning to Christ and repentance and faith. And we go on knowing, asking him as Lord and Savior. But I'll just give you a quick help to, if you're ever leading someone to the Lord, how to do it. There's like an A, B, C, D that you can remember. Okay? This is not complicated. The A is about admitting. And we just say, I admit I have sinned. I'm still a sinner. I need God's grace in my life. I need forgiveness. And then the B stands for believe that Jesus died and rose again. If anyone is willing to believe in him, and that's the verses that we've just shared, Christ died for me. I believe that. The C could stand for confess. In Romans 10:9, it says, if we confess with our mouth the Lord that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, we will be saved. And that confessing with our mouth is really good. It's important that Jesus is Lord. Because becoming a Christian, as I've just said, is not just a, you know, well, I'll do that today and then I'll just go and live my own way. It's saying Jesus is Lord in my life. And I'm going to confess that with my mouth and believe it in my heart, and then you'll be saved. So there's a confessing. And then the final one, the D, decide to receive and follow Jesus. In John 1:12, it says, as many as received him. We've got to receive Christ. As many as received him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. And that's what we do. We receive Christ. We decide to receive him. So A, B, C, D. It's very simple. Admit, believe, confess, decide. And if you're praying with someone or talking them through the way of salvation, you can just remember a few Bible verses like the John 3:16. You can remember Romans 3:23. All have sinned, fall short of the glory of God. Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates his love for us. In this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And then you can remember the ABCD and helping people. You're helping people into the kingdom of God. It's really good. And over these next few weeks, we'll be exploring a couple of other Bible verses that you can have in your heart. God's word have I hid in my heart. And we keep them in our hearts so that we can use them at any time. But I'm going to close now. And I do want to give an opportunity for anyone who has not yet become a Christian, who's here. And today, as I've been speaking, you know that this is a day where you want to get right with God. And you want to invite Jesus Christ and receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Admit you've sinned. Believe he's died for you and rose again. You're willing to confess with your mouth that he is Lord. And believe in your heart, and also you're willing to receive him into your life to be with you forever. So if there's anybody in that place here today, what I'd love you to do is just, in fact, why don't we do this? Can we all stand?